Proverbs chapter 20. And we'll begin at verse 19. He who goes out as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. When I read proverbs and sayings like this, my mind almost immediately goes back to my mother's mother, my grandmother Myers, who was raised in a very rural situation there in western Maryland. It was down toward the Potomac River below Sharpsburg, Maryland, where the Antietam battlefield is, that section, and is back in the boonies. My grandfather, one of them, was raised in a place called Frog Holler down below Sharpsburg, and another was in Rabbit Holler. I'm not sure who was who, but it really doesn't matter. When my uncle Bill and Aunt B, when my Aunt B was still alive, she guided us down to that old home place, and we traversed through those back roads, country roads, and what little bit they've shared, they didn't want us to know too much about what that area was like, but it was bootlegger country, and it was pretty rough. In fact, there is a barn that's been preserved there, and out in front there is a big granite rock with a bronze plaque on it, and it's in commemoration of John Brown. That was where he apparently staged his raid. Apparently they gathered there and did it, and here are all these names in bronze underneath, honoring John Brown. So anyway, there we are. But, you know, being raised in a rural setting, of course, doesn't mean that a person is necessarily mentally challenged. One of the things that I marveled at my grandmother as I grew and got to know her was that behind the pleasant smile and often silence that was there was an awful lot of perception. Not much got past her. In fact, it is really astounding, and I won't go into all the stories. But one of the things that she quipped one day as something was being said about a certain person and what they had said to some of her younger children who were there, and I was just little, but I heard her say, "You remember, if a dog brings a bone, it'll take a bone." Which is a country way of saying, if somebody comes here and brings gossip to you to hear, NL, they're looking around for something they can take from you to take to somebody else. All right? That's the essence of what Solomon is saying here. If a gossip is among you, you can be sure if he's willing to come and share gossip with you, he'll take something from you to somebody else. So what does Solomon advise us to do in that situation, by the way? Notice what verse 19 advises. What? Do not associate with them. Doesn't mean you have to be rude, but you need to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You bide your time and you don't get close to that situation. By verse 20, whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Let's go over to chapter 13 for a moment. We'll keep your place here. As you're turning, I'm just going to repeat verse 20 for us to have that on the back burner, if you will. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. We want to understand a little better what Solomon means when he speaks of having one's lamp put in deep darkness. And I think it's helpful if we see here in chapter 13 something that he said earlier that relates that way. Chapter 13, verse 9. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. I have a note in my particular Bible translation. The editors write, the metaphor that is being presented here in verse 9 presents two kinds of houses. One is brightly lit and happy. The other is what? Is dark and desolate. And they observe these houses symbolize human lives. One person prospers and lives long because of his righteous life, his wise decisions. The other, because he's followed the opposite direction in life, is cut short. So with that in mind, let's go back to chapter 20, where Solomon says, whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. At the very least, Solomon wants the reader to understand that, he wants to understand something. In fact, let me put it to you in the form of a question. He wants us to understand that God holds us responsible for honoring people who hold God-ordained offices in our lives. And notice that it's not just any God-ordained office that he's referring to here, but in particular, what's he referring to? To the home and to parents. Are you seeing that, right? And if we tie what Solomon is saying here to what he said earlier in chapter 13, at the very least, he's saying something, or nothing less really, than what God told Moses back in Exodus chapter 20 when he gave the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, right? At the very least, it's that. He's repeating, or he's saying here what Paul would later say in Ephesians chapter 6, children, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And what was the promise? That it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. You know, I'm don't take this personally, but I'm seeing some blank looks. It's important that we remember, Paul says, that was the first of the Ten Commandments that was given with a specific promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. That is, God says, there's a specific principle, not only for people who are under the covenant. This is a principle that flows through the human race. When you honor your parents, there is a blessing that comes to you. When you dishonor them, problems come about. I'll bless you if you honor your parents. If you choose to do otherwise, God says, you can expect your life to reflect the absence of my blessing. Derek Kidner is one of the commentators I've enjoyed referring to. And he comments that the modern habit is to evaluate a person rather than the office. That is, there's somebody whose personality I get along with, so I respect them. Here's somebody else I don't. And even though they hold this particular office of authority, I don't respect them, and I don't get along with them. He says that's something that is a Western thought that is contemporary. That's not what God was teaching in the Old Testament setting here. And that is what they're pointing to, is that there's something that's owed to someone who is in a position as well. Even if you don't like the personality that's there, the position deserves respect. And you know, I believe that that's what's being borne out in those settings. The Bible Knowledge commentary that Dallas Seminary put together, said this. In the Old Testament, and let me put this in the form of a question to you. In the Old Testament, what was the penalty for somebody who cursed their parents and who violated the fifth of the Ten Commandments to honor your father and mother? Do you know what that was? It was a capital offense. Yeah. It brought about death. But can you imagine? We're so far removed from that, it almost takes our breath away to think of that. And it's clearly laid down in the Old Testament. How often that was followed, we're not told. But nevertheless, it's saying from God's vantage point, looking at this, how important it was that parents be honored. So, thinking of that now, when we look at this proverb that we're looking at, to have your lamp put out in a deep darkness, to have it snuffed out, at the NIV reads, was a kind of a word picture way of referring, I think, to death. That's what the commentators there at the Bible Knowledge commentary would indicate. It's referring to death. Deep darkness, this pitch darkness, is literally the pupil of the eye darkness, referring to the darkest part of the night. By the way, it's interesting, and I didn't think about this till I was getting to the end of thinking through this particular proverb. It's interesting. Did you notice the address of this proverb? It's Proverbs 20:20. Thinking of the eyes and vision and so forth. No, I'm not reading anything into it, by the way. Okay. Let's do one more here. Verse 21. An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. We had one of the fellows that I attended seminary with years ago. It's increasingly years ago. Was a fellow named Lou Button. And it's not important that you know that name per se, but Lou was a fellow. His father had been an evangelist, and he could come up with some of the most humorous and pointed quips from time to time, so much so that the fellow students began to refer to him as Louisms. You know, we have another Louism that he's come up with. For example, and it more to the point of this, on a particular day, he overheard somebody saying, well, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And Lou said, oh, no. Where there's a will, there's a relative. An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. Derek Kidner calls this the final audit. It's a companion verse, really, to something that he said earlier in chapter 13, verse 11. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. Let me say that again. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. In that passage in chapter 13, the emphasis is on the inherent instability of easy money, somebody said. There's an inherent instability when you get easy money. Didn't have to work for it, just kind of came to me. And how many times have we heard the story where somebody has gotten a great inheritance or they've been raised with great wealth, there's little responsibility that they've learned in the midst of that, and their lives have just been ruined in the midst of it. Perhaps that's what Solomon has in mind here in verse 21. Maybe he's referring to the idea of somebody getting their inheritance prematurely, maybe by early request. We think of Jesus' parable of the prodigal son, and that was the situation there. He went to his father and asked up front for the inheritance that he would have gotten after his father's decease, but he got it early, and he wasn't ready for it. His character, his maturity, his experience, and he went away, squandered it, and because he just wasn't ready for it, the kind of responsibility that it demanded. But the implications now, if we come here to verse 21, an inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. Seems to go beyond just getting easy money too soon, getting it prematurely. The implication is that the person has gotten the inheritance here by dishonest means. There's some kind of sleight of hand that possibly has gone on. And as a result, they forfeited God's blessing in this. Either way, by the way, whether the money that has gotten in this inheritance is because a person just wasn't ready for it yet, they couldn't really handle it, or whether they've gotten it through deception, the end result is that it's often squandered and it squelches initiative, it squelches the work ethic, and so, as the second part of the verse says, that person is not blessed at the end. Any comments or observations on these three proverbs this evening? I was ready to roll into verse 22 this evening. We're going to read it, but we're not going to go there this evening. I want to save that for next week. Do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. Let's put that on the back burner for next week. Any other comments or observations then? We'll be just dismissed with a word of prayer. Okay. RC, would you dismiss us this evening? Thank you.